Well, hallelujah. It's good to be in Washington. It's a little bit of a surprise. We were hearing about COVID. We had just come back from a trip down 12 hours out of Tijuana to the east, to an area called Vizcaíno, where it was incredible. The things God did were just beyond description. And we were just back a couple of days, and sitting down at the table, I was praying over some services coming up, and Scott came to me and he said, "Hey, it looks like this COVID thing is kind of getting pretty big." And so we said, "Okay, well, let's just start taking care of things. We're going to just do a little extra shopping, whatever is being recommended, and we're going to just sit it out. You know, we're going to just tighten down the hatches and sit it out and believe God's going to do whatever he's going to do." And so I continued praying, and a few minutes later, Scott said, "It looks now like they're going to be closing the border to tourist traffic in and out of Mexico." That kind of changes things a little bit, because technically we're tourists, considered tourists, even though we've been down there forever. But because we live on a border town and we cross the border all the time, we're considered tourists. So then my prayer changed. "Okay, Lord, now what do you want me to do? Do we stay here or do we go? Because we've got my parents to think about. We've got my father to think about that can't get all of his medications in Tijuana." And so I sat there praying for a few minutes, and the Lord said, "Pack and leave. You got 1 hour." Now, anybody who knows my mom, packing in 1 hour is next to impossible. So my husband and I walked upstairs, and we said, "Hey, guys, there's just been a small change of plans. We're not going to ride this one out. You got an hour to pack, and we're leaving." And of course, my mom's like, "What? An hour? Are you kidding me?" "I'm not kidding you. I know this is God. I know he spoke this to me. We just need to go where my dad has access to his medications without being, you know, shut in away where he can't get medications." So we packed our car in an hour and a half, and we were across the border in 2 hours. An hour later, it was closed to tourism. And what Scott and I thought would be, this is just going to be a free little extra year visit, because we don't get that very often, because all of a sudden, in that same time frame that I had been sitting there praying, I had several pastors call and say, "Well, I think we're going to have to close down services because they're shutting all gathering for religious groups in Tijuana." I said, "Hey, I'm cool with that. If we need to obey the laws, we need to obey what our leaders are telling us. We need to be wise as Christians, just as long as everybody understands we're not doing this out of fear. We're doing this out of wisdom." So in one sitting, within just a few hours, my agenda went from full to empty. That's never happened before. It usually goes from empty to full. This was a reversal. And what we thought was just going to be drop my parents off for a couple of weeks and we'd just be headed back down became a long stay. We've been here since the end of March. And then the Lord began to speak some new things. The Lord said, "Time to come back." I wasn't real thrilled about that. And I wasn't really on board with that. Although several years ago, the Lord told me when it was time to go, when Scott was done, it was time to go, and that I was to just come back without the normal kicking and screaming that I would do. Because I'm such a great follower. So, when he told me, "You know what, this is the sign I've been waiting for from God, that it's time to come home," what could I say? No, you missed that one. No, this isn't it. This isn't time. I had to just accept and say, "Okay." None of us were really on board with that, meaning my parents and I. That wasn't happy news. But as our time there continued and I realized my children had need that they never had before, and things with COVID began getting worse and worse, I realized it's not really safe for my father or my husband down there. But I was still battling and struggling. I thought, "Lord, I just can't take this. I can't. I feel like somehow I've been defeated by a virus we can't even see." And the Lord began to speak to my heart. And I know that the message He's given for me, I know it is also for a new beginning as a body. The Lord said to me, this is not a demotion. This is a promotion. It is a repositioning of my children in the kingdom. So you are in the place you need to be in for the next victory that's coming down. For the next raising up that's coming to my people. But it's not what I expected, Lord. I expected that to come in Mexico. I didn't expect for that to happen here in Washington. I never expected to live in Washington ever again. Mexico has become my home. And the Lord said, if you want what I have for you, you have to be repositioned. You know, in a game of chess, and I don't play chess, so I have no clue why the Lord gave me this idea. But in a game of chess, if you never move the pieces, you can never take the crown. If you don't venture out in the game and move the pieces, I don't even know what they're called. I just know there's a king and a queen. You don't ever get to win. And the Lord says, this story is in my word. I don't remember anything about a chess game in the word, Lord. It's called repositioning. Go with me. Oh, sorry. The Lord is switching. Okay, we have to back up. We're going to just go with me to Jeremiah, please. Sorry, this is a little change really quick. Okay, never mind. The Lord is, okay. Sorry, He's just doing this so much differently. Go to me to the book of Genesis. Genesis 39, verses 2 through 5. I'm not going to read all the verses because I tend to be long, and for the shortness of the services here are a lot shorter than what I'm used to in Mexico. So I'm not going to read all the verses, but I'm going to tell the story. This is the story of Joseph. Joseph was a man called by God. He was a man filled with the Spirit of God, young. He was a man of dreams. He was a man God gave dreams to him. And I believe God gives His people dreams so that when the hard times come in, you've got something to hold on to. You've got something to remember. But God gave me this dream. God spoke this to me. It's got to happen, even though I can't see a way for it to happen. Now here's Joseph. He is the most beloved of his father. He is the apple of his father's eye. He's his favorite child, the child awaited for. And he's hated by all of his siblings because of that. Because he was the love child that came, and the others were just the children that came. Not that I'm sure he loved all of those children too, but it wasn't the same love that he had for Joseph. And the word says that his brothers hated him for that, that his father loved him so much. I'm sure there was some bitterness in there from the wife situation there. We can all understand that, the rivalry between siblings and the rivalry between one wife and the second wife or such things that happen. So when God began giving him dreams and he began sharing his dreams, his brothers began to hate him even more because now he had a dream. And in their interpretation of the dreams, they're thinking, what, I'm going to have to bow down to you? The youngest, the nothing child? Not happening. And they hated him all the more because I believe they knew in their hearts it was true. I believe they understood what those dreams meant, and they hated him all the more. And they plotted against his life. Joseph's thinking, he's loved by his father, but I'm sure he knew how much his brothers didn't love him. He's thinking, gosh, things probably can't get worse than this. I'm like a disease in my own family. Just my mom and dad love me. Nobody else wants anything to do with me. And then his father sends him out to check on the brothers guarding the sheep. And life just took a turn for the worst. He gets there. They strip him of his robe of many colors. his beautiful gift from his father. Now, I can't imagine for a second they said, here, take that robe off and give that to me. I can't think for a second that it went easily, the stripping of this beloved coat. So I'm sure they roughed him up a bit. The Bible doesn't say this. This is just my imagination, which is wild and big. So I imagine they stripped him of that coat, they roughed him up a bit, and then they threw him in a hole. Have you ever felt like that before? Hallelujah. You know, I want to say, going to Mexico was a lot easier than the coming home. I was prepared for the going. We took a year fasting and praying and preparing to go. We've had a couple of months to come to terms with the return. We had time to sell everything we owned, but a few precious objects. We raised money for the going. We can't do that for the coming home. And so he's in this pit where I thought I was, thinking, well, it can't get much worse than this, can it? I'm not going home to tell my dad everything's fine. I can't get out of here. I'm stuck. I'm beaten up. And I'm wondering what's next. Surely they're going to come to their senses, right? I can imagine them down there thinking, Lord, you got to bring these guys to their senses. I can't just stay down here. I bet it felt pretty helpless in that hole. Then what happens? They take him out of the hole. I bet he thought, oh, thank you, Lord. They've come to their senses. It's looking better now. And then they sold him into slavery. Can't get much worse than that now, can it? So there he is in slavery now, being sold. Took to Potiphar's house, where he worked as a slave. But he was so good at whatever he did that God blessed it. Now, I have to believe Joseph had a really great heart. Because, you know, the people who are bitter and who are sour and who are nasty and mean, they're not usually blessed this greatly because they miss it. They miss the blessings because they're out from underneath the covering. Because to be bitter, to be angry, to be spiteful, to be hateful, those are sins. We don't talk about them much, but it is sin because we know better than to behave that way. And yet we fall into that category pretty easily, don't we? I was a little in that category, you know, maybe with just one foot. You know, I'm not real happy about this. I'm not fighting my husband. I'd like to. But I know God said I'm supposed to do what he said, and so I'm not fighting, but I really want to. So I was kind of straddling that fence a little bit. And here is Joseph being blessed in slavery, in everything he put his hands on. He was blessed so tremendously that Potiphar raised him up second to himself. That is pretty great blessing. Everything he put his hands to was blessed, and it grew, and it multiplied, and it got better. Can God trust us even when we're in a place we don't want to be, even when it appears we are in slavery, to be so connected to him, to be so intimate in relationship to him, that even in slavery, everything we do is blessed because of our relationship with Jesus? Or do things begin to dry up? Do things begin to wither? Go with me to the book of Jeremiah. Wow, we're really bouncing. Jeremiah 17, verses 7 through 8. I will read this one. Jeremiah 17, verses 7 through 8. This is in the NIV. This says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots. Now, its roots, that's our spirit. That's what we believe. That's our faith. It's connected into, the word says, the stream, which represents the Holy Spirit. It says, it does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves, the leaves represent our actions, our character, who we are. It says, are always green. Green means full of life, giving, speaking, sowing life. It has no worries in the year of drought. It never fails to bear fruit. This was Joseph. He's in slavery. He has been beaten up by his brothers, cast out, stripped away from his family, his mother and his father, and sold into slavery. And yet, he's green. He's not withered up and dying. He's not given up. He's not in a pity party. He is green and prospering in everything he does because of his relationship with God. I want to be that man, that woman. I want to not fear when the drought comes. I want to always be bearing fruit. I want my leaves to be green, and yet sometimes I can see the leaves falling to the ground because somewhere I've disconnected. Somewhere I've allowed the trial and the heat of the struggle to dry me out. When my roots are connected into the river, what's going on? That river is the Holy Spirit. How many people here are Holy Spirit filled, Holy Spirit connected, Holy Spirit believers? Then we should never wither and dry out because we are connected to the river. But we allow circumstances, we allow the trials and the tribulations to dry and wither us, when even in captivity, even in slavery, Joseph was prospered. He was blessed because of his relationship with the Lord. I want to be that person. But when God said it's time to go home, I was not being that person. I was struggling. I wasn't sleeping. All I could see was the impossibilities. Are you crazy, God? Are you kidding me? We've got nothing in the bank. Every month, everything is thrown into ministry. Everything goes into ministry. We've got nothing to come back on, Lord. How are you going to do this? And I thought, Lord, it was really easy to give up a house. It's a lot more difficult to go knowing there is no house. When we got here, we didn't even have a car. Because Mexico got my cars. I'm like, Lord, I don't even have a way to come back. I don't even have a car. Lord, how are you going to do this? I can't see it. I bet Joseph had those thoughts, but he didn't allow that fear to come in and dry his leaves out. He didn't allow that fear to separate him from an intimate relationship with God. And I was praying, and I was praying, and I was struggling. Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do this. What am I supposed to do? And the Lord said simply, trust me. Trust me. And I thought, Lord, but I am trusting you. I do trust you. And he said, you're not trusting me. And I said, how am I not? The word says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. He said, if you were trusting me, you would be free from fear. If you were trusting me, you would be free from worry. If you were trusting me, you would simply leap off the cliff, because I've said to leap knowing that I will catch you. Leap, Lord? This feels like a leap. And yet I wasn't trusting, although I claim to be a truster. I preach I'm a truster. In this moment, I was struggling to trust. Now I have to be confident. I have to make everybody know, you know, that I know that it's going to be okay. And I wasn't okay with this. But I had to be okay with this because I had to sell it to my mom and dad too. Because if we come back, it means they got to come back. They aren't ready to come back. None of us are ready to give up ministry. The more doors, in all the years we've been down there, more doors are opening now than ever before. At our time down in Vizcaino, we had phone calls every day of people contacting us. Can you come to our church? We had 2 days out of like 15 of rest. That's it. The rest of those days were busy in ministry, and those days were driving. Because we couldn't even fill all of the invitations we had.
And the Lord said, trust me. Trust me, read the story of Joseph. So as I began to get into the story of Joseph, so Joseph served in Potiphar's house for 3 years. 3 years he was a slave, but raised up to where it wasn't so much like a slave, where he was Potiphar's right hand. He had, Potiphar even gave him the keys to his house. The keys to his little kingdom, where he, Joseph, took care of all of the ordering, all of the paying, all of every need that came up. Joseph was in charge. He had authority over everything except for Potiphar's wife. That's a lot of authority. That's a lot of power for a man who's a slave. But because of his relationship with the Lord, everything he did was so blessed. Because his heart was right. Even in slavery, his heart was right. So he's probably thinking, oh, finally, God, things are looking up. Thank you. This is not a bad place to be, Lord. It's not with my mom and dad, but praise the Lord. You've raised me up. You've blessed me. This is better. This is the best that I could hope for, being a slave, Lord. And then what happens? Then he's sent to prison for a crime he didn't commit. For a lie. Not even the truth. There was no hint of truth in it. And he was sent to prison. Thank God it wasn't me. I'm just going to say, I might not have been quite as good as Joseph. And yet it said that even in prison, he was favored. He became so favored and he was so blessed, even in prison, that the captain of the prison, or the whoever it was over the prison, put Joseph in charge of all the prisoners. It's all about positioning. It was all about timing and positioning. Joseph had to get to Egypt. Do you think his father, if he would have said, hey, God wants me to go to Egypt. He gave me this dream, and in this dream, I went to Egypt. Do you think his father would have said, oh, okay, son, yeah, you go do that. Not happening. Egypt was the enemy. He had to get him to Egypt. And then he raised him up and gave him favor in Potiphar's house. Gave him a break. Blessed him and showed that his favor was still with him. Even in slavery, even in captivity, his favor was over him. And then he had to be moved. He had to be repositioned again. Repositioned to the prison. Why couldn't he have just gone to the castle? But he had to be where he was, because he had to be in that prison at the perfect moment, and he had to be in charge of that prison, because he wasn't just another prisoner. He was in charge of caring for all the prisoners. So when the wine cup bearer and the baker of Pharaoh came into the prison, who took care of them? Joseph. Who could show them favor and treat them well, and make sure that they were well treated, even in prison? Only Joseph could. And then God gave them dreams, so that Joseph could interpret those dreams. And this was 2 years after they left the prison. It was 2 years before the wine cup bearer remembered him in prison. He was in prison a total of 10 years. So he had been in prison 8 years getting ready for this moment. 8 years getting ready to receive these two men and care for them and to sow into them and to interpret their dreams for them. And he did. And then 2 years go by like nothing happened. And yet Joseph is blessed. Joseph is blessed. He is connected to the river, and he is always bearing fruit, even in prison. He's not losing his leaves. His character hasn't changed. He hasn't become one of the prisoners. I don't know how many of you might know something about prison. I know very little, but my husband worked at a jail. And I'm just going to tell you, men in jail become dogs. I don't mean to be offensive. Please don't be offended. But they do. They lose, I don't know, they lose who they were. The things that the people would do, the things that Scott would come home and tell me he faced, it was horrid. I will not even go there with you. But it was horrible. But that didn't happen to Joseph. He didn't lose who he was. He didn't lose that he was a child of God. And he didn't change. He didn't allow the circumstances of where he was living, horrible be that they were, he didn't allow that to change him to be like that. He didn't become that. As a matter of fact, he was the total opposite. He was so favored. He was so strong in his relationship with the Lord that he found favor everywhere he went because of who he was and how he behaved, because of the fruit that was evident in him. But how often do we let circumstances rob our fruits? You know, how often do we allow our circumstances to determine what fruit we will or will not bear? Hallelujah. But Joseph wasn't like that. I want to be like that tree that is planted and my roots are so deep into that river that when the drought comes, I'm not afraid because I'm connected to the river no matter how dry the air is or how dry the land becomes. I am connected so deeply into the river that runs so deeply, it will never dry out. I want that person to be me. And so the Lord said to me, where my spirit is, there is freedom. Joseph was in prison, but he was free. He was free to be the man God was calling him to be. And God was simply repositioning him so that he would be in the right position at the exact right moment. And he was. And God raised him up out of that prison. And God put him second to Pharaoh to save a nation. Oh my, to give a birth to a nation, to stop a nation from dying out when there was famine. And he saved the people of Israel through his own family, through being sold into slavery, for being put into prison 10 years. And then he was raised up. The Lord said to me, it's all about positioning. He had to get to Egypt. I allowed this to happen to get him to Egypt. He had to be in Potiphar's house and get a reputation and be known for being a good man. He had to be in jail to be there to receive the wine bearer and to receive the baker when they were sent to jail so that he could minister to them so that I could then take him out of jail and put him second to Pharaoh to save my people. Repositioning in the kingdom of God is what is taking place at a new beginning. You have not had a church building stolen out from under you. You have been repositioned to be in position to receive the next up level that the Lord is taking you. Hallelujah. To be in position for the new glory that is coming to fall over this body of Christ. Don't look at what's behind us and regret and long for it. Know that you have been repositioned for purposes for such a time as this. Oh, it's time for the body of Christ to rise up, to be in the exact place, in the exact position that God needs you to be in to receive the next blessing that's coming. And the word says that the coming blessing will be greater than the former. That is scripture. That is scripture. The coming blessing will be greater than what has already come. The second will be greater than what was. But we have to get into position. Hallelujah. And we have to be this tree. We have to be connected. There are four things about this tree. First of all, this tree didn't fear when the trials or the tribulations came. This tree is not afraid because it knows in who it is connected. It trusts in who it is connected to. It knows that the Holy Spirit goes before them, that the Holy Spirit is who feeds them, who supplies, who covers, and who takes care of them. And this tree does not fear the trials, no matter what they are. Hallelujah.
The second thing about this tree, its leaves are always green. Oh, I want that to be me. I'm not quite there. This is a huge trial for me. This is a huge test to leave behind. I have become more Mexican than I am American. I am used to everything Mexico. I love America. Don't take me wrong. I love America. There is no country like America. But my ways, the things I'm used to, the way I do things, it's all about Mexico. I've been there 19 years. I don't know how to come back from that. I don't know how to go from 19 years of full-time ministry, day and night, in my house or in services or whatever, to just being a mom and a grandma. I don't have a clue. I don't have a clue how to do that. I don't have a clue. I don't know how to leave behind what I have there and come here and have nothing. But I do know this. I know that the Lord is repositioning me for a promotion. It may not feel like a promotion, but I know it is. I know He's repositioning me for something greater, and I'm going to do it, and I am going to be faithful, and I am going to trust Him. I don't care if I live in a she shed. Because we have talked about this, my daughter and I. We can put a she shed on her place. I don't care if I live in a camper. Why not? Something I haven't done yet. If I can learn to use outhouses, I can live in a camper. It doesn't matter, but what this one thing I do know is, I know He's going to take care of me because He loves me. And if there is one thing that gets me through anything, it is I do not doubt how much He loves me. I do not doubt that I am His. And so I have to know that He's going to take care of me. His word says it. Anna, will you get my purse and get me that string out, please? The Lord said to me a couple of days ago, He said, now if I just gave you this string, this magic string, and I said, it's all tangled up. And He said, and if I just handed you this magic string, Marty, and I said, you just hold on to that, and you just never let go, because that is a direct connection to me. And as long as you have that in your hands, you can never fall, you can never fail, you'll never be without, because you are connected to me. What would you do with that string? I'd tie it around my waist, around my neck, my arms. I would never let that string go. Even if I fell asleep, I'd make sure that string did not leave me, did not leave my body. And the Lord said to me, that is my Holy Spirit. He has a direct connection to me. And as long as you are holding on to the Holy Spirit and you never let go, I've got you. I've got you. Donnie, do you have those pictures for me? And because I am... No? Yeah? Yeah. Okay, and because I'm slow, I'm a little slow to get there sometimes, the Lord said, okay, look at this. Imagine if I gave you an umbrella and I said, just keep this umbrella over you. And then the darts that the enemy throws can't reach you. Then when the torment comes, the rain's not going to saturate you. And so I looked up umbrellas and I thought, okay, because it would be really easy to let it go on accident, Lord. Or it could blow away. And the Lord said, no, look at this. These umbrellas connect onto your head. They tie like a giant hat right around the neck. And so you can see that these people are under this covering in everything they do. They're fishing, they're gardening, they're golfing, mowing the lawn, doing the ranch work, and they're under this constant covering. And I said, okay, God, I got it. You guys, if you never take that off, if you always remain under my covering, you know I will always supply your needs. Sometimes we need a little visual, right, to understand the big picture.
Thank you. Don't ever let the string go. Don't step out from underneath that covering. Know that He is covering you and He is repositioning you for such a time as this. It's not a demotion, it's a promotion. It's about being in the right place at the exact right moment that you need to be there for His purposes to go farther in the kingdom of God. Our cry as a body is bring in the unsaved. Our cry is a body to rise up and to move in His Spirit so that no one should be lost. Truth, right? I mean, that's what our cry is, right? But we also have to be in the right position. If we never move the chess piece, we never get the kingdom. We never win. We have to be repositioned so that we are in the place God needs us to be in, and we just can't let go of the string. The third thing it says is, in the year of the drought, He is unafraid. We don't have to be afraid of COVID. Whether we get it or not, we don't have to fear. It's a time of drought. Never has the world looked as it looks right now. I'm not a news girl. I've never been a news girl because all it does is make me want to cry. But it's even worse now. And my daughter-in-law is a news junkie. So all day long, I am hearing all of these things I don't even want to hear. I can't even believe the things that's going on in our country. Never has there been a sadder time for our country than right now. Never have people risen up against people than they are right now. Never has there been a worse time to be in authority than there is right now. There is no respect for authority, none at all. And that is sad. Because good and bad is found in every race, in every job title, good and bad is found. But it's time for God's people to be in the exact right position, the exact right place to heal a nation, right? To bring healing to a nation that is broken. We are broken as a nation. And it's time that we are in the right position to bring healing, to usher in a healing like we have never seen. To usher in a move of God's Spirit like we have never seen. It's time to be in the right position. And I believe that everything is happening for a greater purpose. That everything is happening not because God is angry with His people, but because He is repositioning His people. He is preparing His people for the next level of glory to where we are going to go. Because trials and tribulations, they are coming. Nothing has ever pointed to the end of time as it points now, but the word says that His people will remain firm. His people will not be shaken. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken, but the faithful will remain. I am going to be one of those faithful, no matter what prison I am put in, no matter where I am taken. When I don't understand what's going on, I am going to trust Him. Because I know Him. I know Him. And I was once accused of thinking He was Santa Claus. And I said, I don't believe He's Santa Claus. But I believe He loves me and gives me many things. And I still believe that. I am now a proud owner of a car. And when I went in and I told the salesperson everything I was looking for, because I didn't go to buy a car, I just went to look to get an idea of what was out there for when we get back. He said, wow, that's a list. You do have a lot of stringent requirements there, don't you? And I said, oh, yes, sir, I do. But when it's the right time, I know it'll all line up. I walked out of that parking lot with a new car. Not brand new, it's a 2016, but that's the newest car I've had in 20 years. And Mexico's not going to get this one. This one's mine.
I've shared with her. Three. That's enough. But everything I said I had to have, they did it. Right down to deferred payments. I don't have a first payment till I get back here from Mexico. Is that a miracle or what? Everything I needed, they were able to do. Even down to the warranty, the best warranty package they had. The guy told me, when I need to go for a car, I'm calling you two, and you guys are going with me. I said, we'll do that for you. We'll do that for you. And you know, you want to know a secret? I had zero cash down. I had nothing. I had nothing. And everything I went in and said, and I told him, I'm not really looking to buy yet. I'm just looking to see because I have a lot of requirements. I'm a difficult case, to say the least. I am a difficult case. And by the end of our looking around, he said, if I can make all of those things happen for you today, would you buy the car? Just out of curiosity. Yes. If you can make all those things happen today, you bet I will. Well, I told Anna, but I didn't come to buy a car today. She goes, well, wait and see what he can do, Ma. If it meets all of the things you've told God that you need, right down to the color, then I think you just have to take it in faith that it's God. So I am a proud new owner of an Equinox. Sparkly blue, by the way. Sparkly blue. The fourth thing about this tree, it says, this tree never stops to produce fruit. Are you producing fruit? Are you a fruit-producing tree all the time? Or are there moments that we cease to give fruit, that we cease to speak life, that we cease to sow good seed? Because when we're that, what it does is it just takes that little string, right? Marty's not going to let it go. Not out of her hand. She's a fruit producer, I'll tell you. She's got the point. But when we go there and we're not producing fruit, we've let go of the Holy Spirit. Because Holy Spirit is a fruit-producing spirit. He is what produces fruit in us. And if we are not bearing fruit, it's because we are not connected as we should be. This is an intimate connection we have to have. An intimate knowing, not just knowing in our head. You know, because lots of people have read the Word. Lots of people know the Bible back to cover and yet have no relationship with Jesus. This is a connection intimately where you know His nicknames and He knows yours. An intimate relationship where you know you can have a temper tantrum and then say, okay, I'm done, I'm sorry. And it's going to all be okay. This is a relationship where you know that if you fail them, and you will, nothing's going to change in your relationship. I want to be that girl. I want to be that tree. I want to trust Him so deeply and so completely that I never cease to bear fruit, even in the worst moments of my life. I remember one time when my dad was sick with cancer, pancreatic cancer. And he was pretty bad. You probably remember. He was pretty bad. And my mom still had to work. She had to go to work every day. And my mom went to work every day, and she was laughing and joking with all the women and just doing the things she does. And one day one of the women came to her after a period of time, and everybody found out what was going on. And they asked her, why are you so happy at work? Why can you laugh and joke and play around with the girls when you know your husband is at home dying? She said, my husband is at home dying too, and I can't laugh and I can't joke. I'm not happy. My husband is sick. How can you be so happy knowing he's going to die? And she said, well, I'm just paraphrasing. Well, I'm not happy he's sick, but I know that if he dies, he goes to be with Jesus. But more than that, I'm happy because Jesus makes me happy. Jesus helps me to be happy even in this trial and even in this struggle and even through the worst moment of my life. Jesus makes me happy because I know it's all in His hands. This woman,
a small amount of time later, her and her husband gave their lives to Jesus because they wanted that happiness. I want to be that tree all the time. That even in the worst moments of my life, even when God says, leap and come back to Washington, you've got no house. You now have a car, not big enough to live in. Didn't think that one through. The seats reclined, that's true. Hey, that's something. I didn't even have to think about it. You already knew. That I can trust him without a doubt. That I don't have to be afraid of where I'm going to sleep or if I'm going to have a house or if I'm going to drive my daughter crazy staying there with her. Because I know he loves me so much and he loves her so much, he's going to take care of her. And taking care of her means giving me a place to live that's not in her house. So I have to know he's going to do that for me. I want to be that tree. I want to be that person who trusts the Lord so much. And in the year of the drought, not just when drought comes, but the drought that lasts for a year or more, nothing changes in me. I am the same as I was when there was no drought, because I am connected to the Holy Spirit. James 1:6, with this verse I'm going to close, the Lord says. James 1:6 through 8 says, but when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. Because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Almost daily, my early morning prayer is, Lord, show me what I'm supposed to do today. Lead me in today. Let my behavior, let my actions, let my voice, let who I am reflect you. I've made that prayer, and now I have to stand and believe. Because when we let doubt and worry come in, it blows us around. And the Lord doesn't want that for us. The Lord taught the disciples when they were out on the sea in the boat to speak to the storm. We have that ability. We can say, okay, it's enough. I trust the Lord. I may not know where he's going, and it may feel like a demotion. Because prison after Potiphar's house seems like a demotion. But it's repositioning. It's a totally different game. And we have to trust and not let fear and doubt come in and sway us and move us. The word says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. That is freedom from fear. That is freedom from doubt. That is freedom from stress. That is freedom from anxiety. It is freedom from anything that would come against us that is against the Word or the will of God. And His Word lives in us. His Holy Spirit is His Word living in you and I. We are connected to everything we need to be connected to. We do not have to fear the drought, the trials, the tribulations. We don't have to fear anything. Not even those who hate us. Because we are connected to the Holy Spirit. Stand to your feet with me today. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, thank you for repositioning. I'm ready to be repositioned. I'm ready to level up in this game of life. I'm ready to go to the next level, Father. I am ready to go to the deeper level. I am ready to be in a position to be used by you in even greater measure than I have been used to this moment in my life, Father. Lord, we are ready for a new beginning as a body. To be repositioned, to be in the position you are calling us to be in, so that we are in the right place at the right time, your appointed time, to fulfill your purposes, that your glory might be seen. Hallelujah. Lord, your word says that all of creation is waiting for your glory to be manifested in your children. Lord, I cry out to you today and I ask, Lord, be manifested in your children. Let your anointing anointing. Let your spirit fall and be manifested in your body. Be manifested in your body at such a time as this for your glory, Jesus. For your glory, precious Father. Because you are always working. You are the way maker. Even when I didn't see a way, you have already made provision. You are the way maker, Heavenly Father. When it's dark, you are the light. You are the river, Lord, that my roots are sunk into. That we don't have to fear the drought or the heat, oh God. Have your way in us, precious Jesus. Have your way in us, Holy Spirit. Have your way, have your way, have your way. Have your way in this place, oh God. I ask every heart, Lord, that is broken and hurting, that you just repair it, that you heal it, oh God. Lord, for everyone who battles fear or anxiety or worry or stress, Lord, that you fill them even greater with your love and your peace and your joy, Father. Oh, Father, for every ministry in this body. Oh, hallelujah. I ask you, Lord, to give a recharge. To give a recharge. A preparation, Lord, for the new things that are coming to your people, oh God. Oh, Father, that you'd light a new fire. A fresh fire in the bones of your people, oh God. To be used for your glory like never before, precious Savior. Because there's none like you. I have a song I'd like to play for you guys today. I'd like you to listen to this song while we take a few minutes before we have prayer. As I was going through this time with the Lord, as he was speaking to me about, you know, we're doing this, it's a go, the Lord gave me this song. And it is the cry of my heart right now. And I think it will minister to your hearts today too. So just take this moment. We're going to have prayer if there's anyone that would like prayer, but we have to take a few minutes for some stuff to go on. So as you listen to this song, just speak to the Lord. He knows. He knows you. He knows your needs. He knows where he's taken you.